Turn place to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. And verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offence unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of it, part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. First Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 4. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the second epistle, 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which we have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Now, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now lastly, First Epistle of Peter, chapter 5. First Peter, chapter 5, and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I would have liked, dear brethren, to be before you tonight to say something about the greatness of Christ or the response that belongs to the saints of God. I feel impressed to refer to these scriptures because we are all aware, I'm sure, every one of us, that ere we leave this meeting or leave this conference, very, very soon Satan will be attacking us in one way or another. Every person here who belongs to the Lord Jesus will know something of that testing. Just for a brief moment, if we recount what Satan has done down through the centuries, he invaded the garden, and what a sad, sad story that was. Our first parents, succumbing to the activity of Satan, fell and brought down with them their posterity. Sad, sad occasion that, the fall that we refer to. We think of Noah, the responsibility placed upon him to govern the land and to make it fruitful, and soon he was found in drunkenness. What a sad story that was. When we find the nation of Israel taken up, brought through Egypt and then through the Red Sea, and we find the law imposed upon them, and yet before ever that law came into the camp, they were subject to idolatry, an affront to God. How sad that was. We think of the priesthood set up. And just when it was set up, so soon after it was set up, we find Nadab and Abihu succumbing to the blandishments of Satan and offering strange fire before the Lord, and they were destroyed. If we think of David, that great man, wonderful man of God, and he too succumbing to adultery. Thank God if we have been preserved from such a sin as adultery. We thank God for that. Oh, dear friends, as we pursue the whole story, what a sad story it was. Satan destroying every effort that God made to man. Always destroying it. Always destroying it in one way or another. Even the Church of God, we find the first movement, the first activity of Satan affecting Ananias and Sapphira, collusion in evil, husband and wife. Oh, how sad. And so we could go on. And we come down to our own day, and we see the ravages of Satan all through the Church of God, and sad to say amongst ourselves. So I just want to speak for a few moments on this subject, which I feel weighing upon my heart. We read in Matthew 16 about Peter. And if anyone loved Peter, loved the Lord, Peter did. And yet we find him succumbing to Satan, and the Lord having to say to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And just a few moments before, we find that he was the object of the revelation of the Father. "Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven." The thought of sonship, in all its greatness and glory, not coming by observation, but by revelation. And how thankful we were, how thankful we are for that revelation that Peter received. And then, almost immediately, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savourest not the things that are of God, but the things that are of men." Did Peter realize that he was under the power of Satan? Was he aware of it? I don't think so. I'm sure he loved the Lord. I'm sure he wanted to represent the Lord. And yet, he was used by Satan to express to the Lord things that were contrary to his mind. He had come to do the will of God. His great object was to do the will of God, and how well he did it. And almost immediately again, we find the Lord saying that from that time onwards, or rather the divine writer says, from that time onwards, the Lord spoke about the death that he was to die. This was his great object, to suffer, to bleed, to die. And these were the things that were contrary to Peter's mind. He wanted the Lord's mind, I should say. These things were contrary to Peter's mind too, that they were completely away from him in every sense of the word. Oh, how sad that we could be used as tools of Satan. Isn't that sad? Each of us, oh, let us beware. What we say, what we do, remember that those who slander do the work of Satan. Same word is used for the devil. Slandering. Oh, how sad that is. Very, very sad to find that any of us could be used as a tool of Satan. Be vigilant. I want to use these two words in connection with this little message. Be vigilant. That's what we need to do, to be vigilant, not to be used in any way whatsoever in relation to the things of the Lord. When we come to Acts chapter 5, we find a husband and wife in collusion in relation to evil. There was nothing wrong with giving part of the money to the fund that the apostles had set up in relation to the poor. Nothing at all wrong with that. Instead, they acted as hypocrites. They wanted to have the glory of giving all that they had to this fund. And sad to say, they lost their lives. Genuine believers, belonging to the Lord Jesus, no question at all about that. Oh, how sad that this husband and wife should be in collusion with evil in relation to this matter. Most of us here are husband and wife. Most of us have children. How important that we regulate our homes in such a way that there is no possibility of this kind of collusion coming into our homes. Be vigilant. Don't let this evil, wicked person come into our homes in any way whatsoever. What a vile person he is. I'll tell you how great he is. In the Epistle of Jude, it tells me that Michael, the archangel, did not dare to bring a railing accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Oh, how great Satan is. He's not that kind of person that's portrayed in medieval pictures. Hooves, a cuddly tail, a grotesque form. He's not that kind of person. He's wise. He's powerful. He's tremendously wise, wily. He's had a long, long time at this kind of business. And he knows our weaknesses. He can get into our weaknesses. He can trip us up so easily. I know it only too well. Oh, dear friends, how vigilant we must be. I feel this is something that we need to be told. Oh, I feel I would like to speak about the glory of the Lord, but I feel this message on my soul. And so we find this man and woman allowing themselves to be used by Satan, and how sad that this first sin in the church is recorded, just as the first sin in connection with Joshua when they entered into the land was Satan occupying the minds of a man to covet the wedge of gold and the Babylonish garment. Oh, how sad that was too. When we come to Corinthians, we find not now an individual, not now husband and wife, but the assemblies of the saints. And we know that the epistle to the Corinthians is a model for us to order our assemblies in the same way. Dear friends, that's why I say we must be extremely careful that nothing of this kind enters into our companies. Be vigilant. Oh, how sad this is when we see the havoc that's caused amongst the saints. All over the Church of God, we read about false prophets, false teachers, those who have crept in unawares, people whose desire is to destroy all that belongs to the saints of God. If we didn't know how evil Satan is, we would find it difficult to understand how people can act with unprincipled cunning. These are the words that the Holy Spirit uses in connection with this kind of activity. Unprincipled cunning, lies, deceit, evil things. These are the two great things upon which Satan works. He's a liar from the beginning. He's a murderer from the beginning. And both of these things will find its full-blown expression in the false prophet and in the beast. That's still to come. But at the present moment, these are the things that we have to face in our daily lives. Every one of us, I'm sure we're all aware of the power and activity of Satan. I can say humbly, Satan sought to destroy me morally. He sought to destroy me physically 11 years ago. He sought to destroy me doctrinally, and praise God, he hasn't succeeded. And may he not succeed at any moment. It's very, very interesting that in the Epistle to the Romans, we only find one mention of Satan. And it's a most encouraging one. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. All through that epistle, we find positive teaching regarding the saints of God. Wonderful teaching. And I'm left with the impression that not simply reading that epistle, but appropriating the truth of that epistle will mean that we will be strengthened. More doxologies in that epistle than in any other. More references to thanksgiving and praise than in any other. And so there we find that Satan is kept at bay. No inlet into that company. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Wonderful thing to know that Satan is a defeated foe. At the cross, you remember in Hebrews 2, we read that the Lord Jesus, he overcame the power of Satan, destroyed him who had the might, or annulled rather, annulled him who had the might of death, that is the devil, and delivered us who through fear of death were all our lifetime subject to bondage, the work of Christ. We read in John's epistle, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The world is the devil's area to work in. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we've already referred to the God of peace who shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. So then, dear brethren, we have the utmost encouragement to go forward. That's why I read these verses in 1 Peter chapter 5. Be vigilant, steadfast in faith, resisting the devil. Let me read it again. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in you, brethren, that are in the world. Now that's the area of conflict. Tremendous conflict. We'll go on all the time. There isn't one here, the most advanced brother, the most spiritual brother, but will be subject to temptation to the end of his life. He's always there. Wily, evil, wicked person. But here we are told to be vigilant and to resist him, steadfast in faith. Know how we need this, to be nourished up in the words of faith, to be nourished up in the doctrine that comes to us so readily, so plentifully. But the great question is, do we appropriate it? Do I appropriate it? This is what we require. And oh, how blessed to read these few verses. The God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory. Praise God for that. That's what we are going on to. Going on to the glory. The God of all grace has called us to that. And so we find, at the end of that section, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. How happy it is that we can end this little talk with glory to God. Because it will be glory to God at the end. Praise God for that. Well, may these few thoughts help us to be vigilant and not to take for granted that we're immune from the temptings of the evil one. Not to think that we can leave this confidence and walk without any thought of temptation. Be vigilant, resist, steadfast in faith.